The innocent man will flourish as the palm tree flourishes. Justus ut palma florebit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. With Palm Sunday begins our entrance into the Holy of Holies. Three acts in today's drama, as depicted in the liturgy: the blessing of palms, the procession, and the Mass itself. Yes, indeed, a terrible drama is slowly unfolding before our eyes. As we have been prepared for weeks now to enter the arena where the fighters fight their last combat. Isn't it, in fact, the whole reason why we carry these palms in procession today? If the expression, "he received the palm of martyrdom," has been used for centuries in the description of the life of so many martyrs, isn't it because palms have always been used as an emblem, a symbol of joy and victory over sin and our enemies? But the sequence order here seems to be reversed. Christ hasn't died yet. He hasn't been victorious over death yet. Nothing seems to show that victory is on his side. As many Jews, as we have read these past few weeks, are still looking to kill him. And several times he has to hide, to walk away, to scatter the growing church in the crowds in time of tumult and uproar, because his hour has not come yet. In other words, the hour of the victory of truth over evil hasn't come yet, and the warnings are clear. The Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus, says St. Matthew. In John chapter 8, they took up stones, therefore, to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. John 10, the Jews again picked up stones to stone him. John 11, "Master," his disciples said to him, "the Jews were but not now threatening to stone you." John 16, "They will forbid you the synagogue. Nay, the time is coming when anyone who puts you to death will claim that he is performing an act of worship to God." And finally, as we just read this past Friday at Mass, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together a council against Jesus and said, "What are we doing? For this man is working many signs. If we let him alone as he is, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation." So why such an early celebration when, objectively speaking, the situation doesn't seem to show any signs of victory? What can a bunch of fishermen, what can crowds of pious women, and even if we know that Simon was a zealot, reason why he was wearing one of these daggers, sign of the zealot sect in the Garden of Olive during the agony of our Lord, what can even these crowds of zealots following our Lord, crowd of untrained and undisciplined zealots, do against an army of Roman soldiers, or even against other Jewish factions and rebel groups? Nothing. And in fact, there has been for decades ceaseless clashes, riots, rebellions, and wars between the Jews, the Greeks, and the Romans in that part of the world. And again, nothing seems to show that Christ, who has no army behind him, no soldiers to fight for him, nothing seems to show that Christ will free his people and give back to Israel its past glory. The siege of the impressive city of Jerusalem and its massive temple taken by the Roman army less than 40 years later proves that the possibility of any victory for the Jews at that time was minimal. if not inexistent. And yet today our Lord enters Jerusalem, victorious at the sound of Hosanna Fili David, son of David, new ruler of Israel. Have the Jews then lost their minds and are now rushing headfirst to their death, to their martyrdom? In a historical sense, yes. Yes, they are. And soon the cross will become the sign of victory. Soon armies of martyrs will lay down their lives to witness the message of truth given by the Master. But more than that, in a spiritual sense or an agogical sense, that is, it's the meaning of Holy Scriptures in relation to our eternal beatitude to heaven, this episode of the Palms, as Origen, early writers of the church, says, the palms or palm is the symbol of victory in that war waged by the spirits against the flesh. And so it makes sense, perfectly sense, that this victorious celebration takes place before the cross. This early celebration takes place before the cross, before the resurrection. Since one can approach and benefit from the merits of the cross only if he accepts to carry the palm every day in his heart as a sign of the war he wages against his three enemies, the devil, the world, and our own pride. Only then in carrying this palm, that is, only in fighting the good fight and in mortifying our senses, in rebuking the snares of the evil one, and in crushing down our pride, only then can the blood of mercy shed on the cross penetrate the soul and bring the eternal joy of the resurrection. Three acts, as we said, in this drama played before our eyes today. The first act takes us on the Mount of Olives, where people gathered, palms and branches, just outside of the walls of Jerusalem, past this little valley, where you can still admire today these centuries-old trees, olive trees, where our Lord spent much time in prayer with his disciples. We, in fact, reenact this first act in the first part of the liturgy with the blessing of palms. And notice the importance of this blessing, not only because of its length, obviously, but it's truly a Mass within the Mass. Most parts of the Mass are present in the blessing ritual of the palms, of course, to give an emphasis to its importance. We have an introit, or what seems to be an introit, in the form of an antiphon, which was sung by the Schola. Then we have a reading, then a short or sort of gradual, then the gospel, the preface sung by the priest, and a sort of canon composed of several beautiful prayers, which is the actual blessing of palms. And of course, one missing element, the sacrifice itself. We are still outside of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. The sacrifice cannot be completed yet, since Christ, the new Paschal Lamb, has to be offered in sacrifice before the high priest and the Sanhedrin first for the sacrifice to be complete. In lieu of communion, still in this first act, we are invited to approach the communion rail to receive a palm, victorious insignia of the martyrs, and finally the sending away, replacing the ite missa est, the deacon proclaims, Procedamus in pace. Let us go forth in peace in the name of Christ. The second act, we're invited to go in procession to the holy city where he will suffer and die. As the procession enters the holy gate, or the golden gate of the city of God, the new Jerusalem, the church, of course, the subdeacon will knock the door with the base of the processional cross. Notice the importance of this gate, the golden gate, also known as the gate of penance or the gate of mercy, which has been sealed centuries ago, sealed Since both Jews and Muslims believe that the Savior shall come in glory at the end of time and enter through that same gate. You can still see, if you visit Jerusalem, just outside of these doors, thousands of graves, Muslims and Jewish graves, because they hope to be the first one to enter the gate with the Savior at the end of time. Of course, this is rejecting the reality of the new gate found in every church, which gives access to life everlasting through the sacraments. Sin had shut the gates of heaven for us. And with Christ's victory, the angels singing inside the church, as we just heard when coming back from the procession, the angels singing, "Welcome men inside." As the priest, the other Christ enters, accompanied by the congregation. And finally, the third act of this drama takes place in the holy city itself, with the Mass itself and the completion of the sacrifice. The long reading of the Passion, according to St. Matthew, that we just heard, should foster in us sentiments of love and compassion and gratitude as we continue to contemplate in these most august ceremonies the sorrowful face of our Savior. Let us then, with Mary and the Apostles, keep within our hearts these vivid sentiments offered in the liturgy as we continue to accompany the Paschal Lamb to the altar of sacrifice, repeating with St. Paul, "With Christ I hang upon the cross, and yet I am alive. Or rather, not I, it is Christ that lives in me. My real life is the faith I have in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen." In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.